Mortality, what we just read about in 1 Corinthians 15, our new bodies will be immortal bodies, incorruptible bodies, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of transformation, of becoming new creatures in every sense and in every dimension of our being. Yes? Yes, 1:10, what I just read. All right, that's my new King James. What does yours say?
1 Thessalonians 1:10 is...
You know what? I read you Timothy. Would you believe? Could you believe that I could possibly have made a mistake? It's one of the things that will be abolished, by the way. That was just a way of illustrating to you what yet remains to be redeemed, including bad memory. just an illustration. What do I feel dumb? 1 Thessalonians, not Timothy, chapter 1. Thank you for so graciously bringing that to my attention. When you're an idiot, if somebody tells you nicely that you're an idiot, it feels so much better. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. All right. I still made something out of that passage, even though it had nothing to do with it. All right. It shows you that all Scripture is connected together, doesn't it? Please don't ever make that assumption. That would be entirely faulty. Verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are to wait for His Son from heaven. Is that what you have in your Bible? Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from, away from, out of the wrath to come. Do you see that? Again, He delivers us away from and out of the wrath to come. That's what it's a pre-tribulation rapture. Turn in 1 Thessalonians to chapter 4, where we get this vivid description. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, where we get this vivid description of the rapture. Starting in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have already died, who are believers, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, I think one of the things that became clear as you looked at the funeral services for President Reagan is that there were those whose you know, kind of blank faces and so on evidenced the fact that they really didn't have a lot of personal hope. They were just there going through the ceremony. And there were others who had peace, who had, you know, some measure of hope that was evident in their face and in their words. And that's what he's talking about here, is that we as believers are not like the people who don't know the Lord, who really have nothing to say. And what are they going to say if somebody dies? They have no hope. So we see 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Nothing worse than being at a funeral with somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord. What do you say to them? How do you comfort them? They don't believe in the Lord. They don't believe there's anything in the future. That's the end. That's a time of tragedy. It's not a time of hope. Verse 4. Yes. Yes.
But then, as we would share Jesus with them, if they received Him, then they had hope.
Yes, all of a sudden the faces come alive and brighten.
This life that they were experiencing now, that's the best it's ever going to be.
Yeah, if this is all there is, folks, bad news. Not good news. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. And that refers, of course, to all the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament saints who have died before the time of the rapture. Who will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now, this is an authoritative statement. By the word of the Lord. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, that means it could be most folks here in this room today, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede, that is, get our resurrection bodies beforehand, those who are asleep. So don't worry about those who are died, whether they're going to be resurrected. Some people have said at that particular time, well, look, if Jesus comes back, I know I'm going to be resurrected, but what about those who have died? He says, don't worry about them. They're going to get their bodies first. And so we read. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, the spirits of those who have already died will be joined to a brand new body. of the sort that we read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be, here's the word where the word rapture occurs, are caught up, snatched up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if you want to make a distinction between the time of the rapture and the time of the second coming, think of it in this way. At the time of the rapture, we're going up to be with the Lord. At the time of the second coming, we're coming down with the Lord. Let me say it again. At the time of the rapture, we're going up to heaven to be with the Lord. At the time of the second coming, we're coming down from heaven with the Lord in order to rule and to reign. Up, down. I think you can make that difference. That's one of the big differences between the rapture and the second coming. Oh, I want to be there when he goes. I don't want to be there when he goes up. I don't want to wait till then. I'm in trouble. Some songs are not necessarily theologically correct. Let's see. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Another statement of promise to be preserved from the tribulation. Notice in verse 9 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, for God did not appoint us to wrath or to the day of wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he makes a clear distinction between what he said in 1 Thessalonians about the rapture and what he's going to say in 2 Thessalonians about the second coming. This is why in the case of the rapture, you can expect him to come at any moment, as Dr. Walver told that student, right? Imminently. Therefore, you believe in the pre-trib rapture, right? You have to. If that logic holds, it holds. But he says, what about the second coming? What's the difference? Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, from the day of Christ, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, that day, the day of his second coming, verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. There's the apostasy of the church. And the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, and it describes the things that he is going to do, and so on. And talks about how Satan will be, you know, restrained, and so on. The important point is this. There are events that will precede the second coming that have to take place first. Don't work yourselves up into a sweat. That's a paraphrase. Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, don't get excited, boy. You're going to miss the second coming. Believe me, you won't miss it. You know, every eye will see him. Not just in the case of the rapture, the eyes of believers, but every eye will see him at the time of the second coming. And here are the differences. Events must precede the second coming. In the case of the rapture, nothing has to precede. All known prophecies have been fulfilled that Scripture has given us. It could happen at any moment. Nothing prevents the Lord from coming, even as we're speaking now, and the dead in Christ rising first, getting their bodies, and we who are alive here now will get ours and will be with the Lord forever and forever. Well, I need to conclude because we have another class coming in. But let's go back to Revelation chapter 3 for the conclusion. Verse 11 and 12. I'll just read them to you. Jesus is saying it's going to be a sudden arrival, this rapture. Verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly, suddenly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Crown always refers to rewards. Rewards always refers to opportunities of service based on faithfulness. Don't stop living for the Lord because you think he could come back at any moment. There were some people who stopped working in the early church who thought the Lord could come back at any moment. He says they don't work, they don't eat. I'm coming quickly, suddenly, hold fast what you have. Keep doing what I've asked you to do, that no one may take your reward, your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. There will be a total identification of us as belonging to the Lord, as being citizens of heaven, the New Jerusalem, and as belonging to the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already adopted us us and given us his name because we are accepted in the Beloved. And that of that hidden adoption will become an overt adoption as his name is impressed upon us, as well as the name of the city of the New Jerusalem, and of course the name of God himself. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What's the Spirit saying to the churches? Be ready. Be alert. Stay obedient. Stay faithful. The Lord could come at any moment. And when he does, what a day of joy that's going to be. You're going to be forever with the Lord. Forever and ever with the Lord. You'll be preserved out of and away from the time of great tribulation. He has not ordained us to wrath. He's ordained us to be with him forever and forever. I think it's clear. And what a wonderful lesson we have here, isn't it? In the book of Revelation chapter 3 on the church of Philadelphia. Before we close, yes.
I was just going to add something to verse 10. It says, the last phrase is to test those who dwell on the earth.
Right.
And when you see that phrase, to dwell, those who dwell on the earth.
The unbelievers.
Revelation always refers to
unbelievers, right, right. Now, we are tried and tested in another sense, in the sense that the life circumstances that we go through are are chances for us to evidence our faith. Or if we don't, of showing that we don't have as strong a faith as we should have. So there are different kinds of tests. But this is a test of unbelievers in the sense of making clear that sin and the opposition of Satan and so on will not be tolerated by God and will be brought to a denouement, will be brought to a conclusion. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. There's another class coming in here immediately afterwards. They're trying to set up something for a special program. So they're kind of asking us to not hustle, but genteelly make our way out. So I'll talk to you outside the door so we can give them a chance to do their thing, okay? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you've given us the opportunity to think about your soon, sudden coming. The snatching up of us as believers who are alive and remain at the time of your coming. The resurrection bodies that will be given to those who have already died and then to us. And that we shall always be with you in heaven, away from the time of tribulation, and to return in great victory with you to reign upon the earth. Oh, Father, how grand and glorious is this vision, and how clear it is. The tribulation is yet to be. Your coming could occur at any moment. Pre-tribulation rapture. How we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.